Hello and welcome to our midweek reflection at Renton Baptist Church. Today we're going to be looking at one of the amazing encounters that Jesus had with his disciples after his resurrection from the dead and before he ascended into heaven to be with his Father. This encounter is found in John chapter 21, and I'm going to read it now, but it would be good if you have a Bible, if you can follow along with me. So this is John chapter 21. Jesus appeared to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. "I'm going out to fish," Simon Peter told them. And they said, "We'll go with you." So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realise that it was Jesus. He called out to them, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. He said, "Throw your net on the right side of your boat and you will find some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. Then the disciple who Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It is the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and he jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from the shore, about 100 yards. When they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples dared ask him, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. Jesus came, took bread and gave it to them, and did the same with the fish. This was now the third time Jesus appeared to his disciples after he was raised from the dead. And so let's set the scene for today's reflection. The disciples had been through a pretty traumatic time. They'd witnessed their friend, their teacher and their Lord, the man they'd followed so closely for 3 years, be put on trial, tortured and crucified. They'd lived in fear, wondering if they were going to face the same fate. Some denied Jesus, some doubted him, and they all hid away in a locked room. But then they had the amazing revelation that Jesus had come back to life. Today's passage is their third encounter with Jesus after his resurrection. We tend to think that the disciples would be happy and everything would be jolly and great because Jesus is alive. But I'm not sure that's quite how the disciples would have been feeling. I suspect they had more questions than answers. They would have been overwhelmed, baffled, and bewildered at all they had witnessed. They may have been confused and still had doubts about what they'd seen. These encounters with Jesus were reassuring and helpful in some ways, but they were also brief and quite random. Would they ever see Jesus again? When would he next appear to them? Would they recognise him? How long will he be around? Or will he be leaving them for good? This was certainly an amazing time, but it was also a bewildering and troubling time. To use a phrase heard a lot recently, this could be described as an unprecedented time in the lives of the disciples. And so how do they deal with everything that has been going on? Well, they return to what they know. They return to what is familiar and comfortable. They do the one thing they know how to do better than anything else. They go fishing. This is a fairly natural human reaction in unsettling and trying times, to turn back to what is familiar and safe and known. Perhaps we can point to something during this time of coronavirus that we've returned to for comfort. I've had a lot more regular communication with my family members than I normally would. I found this quite helpful and quite settling during this time. Perhaps you've returned to something, maybe an old hobby, a particular routine, or some food or drink that you find comforting. It's into this setting that Jesus decides to appear and to meet again with his friends. But how does Jesus choose to be revealed? And how do his disciples recognize him? In verse 4 of today's passage, we're told that Jesus stood at the shore, but the disciples didn't realize it was him. It may be that his physical appearance was slightly different in his resurrection body. Or it might be that they were far enough away from the shore that they couldn't actually see him clearly. And so they don't recognize Jesus by his appearance, but rather by their conversation with him and in the miracle that follows. He says to them, "Friends, haven't you caught any fish?" "No," they answered. Jesus says, "Throw your net on the right side of the boat and you'll catch some." When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of a large number of fish. And the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Simon Peter, "It is the Lord." You could think that it was the boldness of Jesus' words that led the disciples to recognize him. Or it might have been the miraculous catch of 153 fish that did it. But I think that they actually recognized Jesus as being this man on the shore, because this is not the first time that they've encountered Jesus in this way. In Luke chapter 5, and you can turn to that passage if you'd like to, Jesus has his very first meeting ever with his disciples. In this passage, which took place about 3 years before the meeting in today's passage, Jesus appeared on the shore to Peter and James and John, who had just finished fishing but had caught nothing. He gets into the boat with them and tells them to go back out onto the lake and to put down their nets. And we read that they catch such a large number of fish that their nets begin to break. In this challenging, unprecedented and unsettling time for the disciples, how does Jesus reveal himself to them? He does it by reminding them of the past, by taking them back to the very first time they met him, and by showing them that he is just as present and at work in their lives now as he was then. The disciples weren't ready for something new. That's why they'd returned to fishing. So Jesus meets them by reminding them of the past, by reminding them of this first encounter that he had with them 3 years earlier, where the same thing happened of them catching a miraculous number of fish because of Jesus' instructions. And this gives them hope for the present day and for the future. But this isn't the only revelation and reminder in this passage from John chapter 21. Having led the disciples to catch a miraculous haul of fish, Jesus then invites them to join him on the shore for a barbecue. He tells them to bring some of the fish to eat. In verse 12, it appears that the disciples are still a bit unsure. It says none of them dared to ask Jesus, "Who are you?" They knew it was the Lord. This sounds to me like they knew it was him, but they still wanted to ask just to make sure. But again, Jesus reassures them and he reveals himself to them, and he does this through their memories of their relationship with him and things that have happened in the past. In verse 13, we read that Jesus came, he took bread and he gave it to them. In this moment, they would surely have been reminded of the last time they ate bread with Jesus in an upper room on the night before he was crucified. They would have remembered his words, "This is my body, broken for you." And then, as well as passing them bread, he also passes round the fish. Again, bread and fish being passed to them. They must have been reminded in this moment of the time when Jesus gave them 5 loaves of bread and 2 fish that he'd just blessed and told them to feed 5,000 people with it. This encounter on the lake and around a fire with a barbecue is full of symbolic reminders, pointing back to the encounters and memories and teaching and miracles that the disciples had witnessed during their 3-year journey with Jesus. This is the last encounter that the disciples have with Jesus in John's Gospel and before he ascends into heaven. This simple barbecue on a beach, with all its rich reminders, is both comforting and transformational. It encourages the disciples to not dwell on the past, fishing on a lake, but to continue to seek God and to seek his purposes for their lives today and into the future. They go from this encounter into Jerusalem where they're filled with the Holy Spirit on the day of Pentecost. And from there, they go out into the world, making disciples of all nations and building the church. Today, we are living in unsettling and unprecedented times. It's only natural to return to what is comfortable and known to us in times like these. And I believe that this passage shows God's desire to comfort us, but also to spur us on to greater things. Often when we seek Jesus, we want him to meet us in the things of today and to give us clear guidance and instructions for the future. But perhaps in times like these, we should first look back before moving forwards. It's not only in this passage that God reveals himself through memories. This happens all throughout Scripture, and particularly in the Old Testament. The Israelites had a very rich tradition of telling stories of all that God had done for them in the past, remembering his promises to love them and care for them, to redeem them and lead them forwards. Sometimes it's good to take stock and to be reminded of God's goodness to us. This can be both comforting and inspiring. Hear me right. We should not live our lives in the past, but we can go there for comfort today and inspiration and guidance for the future. And so here is the application for this week. I encourage you to take some time. Maybe find a quiet place, perhaps in your house or in your garden. Maybe go for a walk. And think back over a period of time. It could be the last month or year. It could be over the last 10 years or 20 years. It could be looking back over your lifetime. And remind yourself of significant moments that you've had in life and in your relationship with God. It might be helpful to look back in your diary or journals if you keep them, or to things you wrote in your Bible or notepad, that you heard in sermons or talks, and ask yourself some helpful questions. What did God say to you in the past? What prayers did he answer? How did God help you? How did he guide you? How did God comfort you? How has your relationship with God changed the course of your life? These are just a few questions. I'm sure you can add more of your own. The answers to these questions might be obvious, or they might be more subtle. Personally, I've had times in my life when I can remember God speaking to me very, very clearly and showing me the way forward. But there have been other occasions where things have just kind of happened and panned out. And at the time, I maybe didn't see God really clearly. But looking back, I can recognise how he was at work in a particular situation or in a conversation that I had with someone. And so having taken the time to look backwards, then take a moment of quiet with God. and consider what comfort or guidance or inspiration you can take from these past experiences in order to face the situation you're in today and to guide you forward into tomorrow, into the week ahead, the month ahead, and further into the future. And so I finish this reflection today with a prayer. Lord Jesus, you met your disciples by a lake, around a barbecue, and in an encounter that changed everything. You comforted and inspired them with the wonderful memories that they shared with you. And I pray that we might also be comforted and inspired by all you have done in our lives, and that we would be spurred on all the more to step up, to step out, and to live each day for you. And so lead us on, we pray. Amen.